Rolling Malachim Aleph, Parak Tes, Pasuk Yud. We spoke about what happened after King Solomon completed the Beis Hamikdash, he completed the temple, and Hashem appears to him again. He tells him exactly how he's going to stay, he's going to dwell in the Beis Hamikdash forever. Even when the Beis Hamikdash, even when the temple is destroyed, he will still stay there. The Shekhinah never left the Beis Hamikdash, the Makom Hamikdash, and it's always there, even until today. So now we're going back to the next paragraph and a half. We're going to basically see everything that happened to Shlomo HaMelech, to King Solomon, and everything he did. You're going to get a much better idea. So Pasuk Yud, number 10, continues, Ve'imiketz Esrim Shana, 20 years later, Asher Bona Shlomo Shnei Batim, which Shlomo HaMelech, the King Solomon, completed the two houses. We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, and his own house that he built for himself. As Beis Hashem, as Beis HaMelech, right? These two houses. Chiram Melech Tzor Nisa Shlomo Ba'atzei Arozim Ba'atzei Bereishim Vazov L'chol Cheftzei. Right? Chiram, who assisted King Solomon in building the Beis HaMikdash, in building the temple, he now, he was one who offered much of the materials. First of all, he offered him the trees, the wood that was actually used to build the Beis HaMikdash, and the gold and the silver. Not only that, but he offered him the actual men, the special artists that you needed in order to put together all these intricate different designs that were needed for the Beis HaMikdash, for the temple.
What was his impetus?
Whose?
Chiram.
It's a good question. It's not clear exactly why he did it. But it was very, very, very clear that he was very close to King Shlomo. We're going to see in a minute that even when Shlomo, King Solomon, disappoints him, he still remains friendly, and he does not break their friendship, their closeness.
I'm sure he can make a buck, so he did it.
No, he didn't do it for money. He didn't do it. Doesn't sound like he did it for money. First of all, you know, he appreciated King Shlomo, who he was, and he wanted to support him.
And he had the material.
Yeah, he had the material. And, well, King Shlomo really asked him. He requested. He requested help. So, Ozitin HaMelech Shlomo L'chiram Esrim Ir Be'eretz HaGadol. So now, in order to pay back Chiram for all his generosity, Shlomo decided to, this was part of their agreement, he decided to give him 20 cities in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel. Now, the Malbim over here explains that he didn't actually give it over to him completely. It's not like, okay, these cities do no longer belong to the Jews, rather they belong to Chiram. It wasn't that. Because what that would accomplish was, they would take out these cities from the holiness of the land of Israel. And that King Solomon did not want to do. He did not want to do that. Rather, what he's doing now is he's paying his debt to King Solomon. He promised King Solomon that he will give him, every year he will give him 20 kor of chitim and 20,000 kor of oil, which is a huge amount. So a huge amount of wheat, a huge amount of oil every single year. And now, in order to provide that for him, he's now telling Chiram, okay, these are the cities that you can use. You can basically use everything that's in the city, all the resources that are in the land in these cities, and you can use that to take his payment for the debt that I owe you, for everything you gave me towards building the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. So now, so what Shlomo HaMelech was planning to do was, he was planning to continue this agreement forever, basically. That what Chiram would do, the agreement was, Chiram would give Solomon all the gold, all the wood that he needed, and in return, Shlomo would provide oil and different wheat for Chiram. That was the plan. And so these 20 cities are going to be the ones that the king, that Chiram would take the wheat and the oil from. So what happens? Vayetz Chirim mitzar liros ha'sa'arim, asher nasan l'shlomo. So Chirim goes to check out the city to see, well, what Shlomo gave him. B'layash Rabbeinav. He did not like what he saw.
He was not pleased with them.
He was not pleased. He was not pleased with the city. He said, ah, this is what you're giving me? Can't believe it. I thought we were friends. Right? And then you give me these cities. Apparently these cities were not very fruitful. And Chirim saw that right away. And he was highly disappointed. So he turns to Shlomo and he says, V'yomer. Chirim tells Shlomo, Mar yom ha'el asher nasat aliyachi. Right? What are these cities you gave me, my brother? V'yikra lehem eretz kovul ad ha'yom hazeh. So he gave them a very negative nickname, Eretz Kovel. Eretz Kovel means tied. Tied, like, Lichbol in Hebrew means to tie up, to contain.
Well, actually, what was wrong with the place?
So that's a good question. So the Radak gives a few different explanations as to what was wrong with these cities. So one explanation is, Eretz Kovel, he says, comes from the word closed, sagar. Sagar means closed. Remember what we had back in while King Solomon was building the temple, there was one type of gold that he was using that was called zahav sagar, closed gold. Why is it called closed gold? Because once a shop opened up that was selling this gold, this type of gold, this gold was so precious and so pure that all the other shops that were selling gold would close immediately because they were out of business. Because this gold basically put everybody else out of business. That's why it was called closed gold, because all the other shops would close down. So this is basically the opposite of that. And we're saying that this land is called a closed land. It was so closed because no one would go there. There were no bypassers, no traffic at all. Through these cities, because the land was so bad, it was so terrible, it was very thorny, so very
nobody,
unpleasant no, to be
nobody
there.
Nobody lived there.
Nobody lived there. No.
It's just open country.
Quicksand that said, I don't know.
It's another pshat. It's another pshat that Radak brings down. He brings another pshat that Eretz Kovel is called a land that is not fruitful, that does not bring forth fruit. Another pshat he brings down is what you said, that it was actually quicksand. Right, Kabul, that once you go over there, your legs sink in to the ground, and like into the ground.
Maybe marshy land. I don't know.
Yeah, either marshy land or quicksand.
He
actually talks about sand over here. What?
It wasn't fertile enough.
Right, it wasn't fertile enough. So now the Radak over here brings another explanation. And he says that what Shlomo Melech really did was that they really, what they did was they exchanged cities. So Chiram gave Shlomo 20 of his own cities in his land, and he let the Jewish people settle in his cities, in Chiram's cities. And in return, Shlomo gave Chiram 20 cities that Chiram's people can sit in, and occupy. And they did that in order to strengthen their covenant, to strengthen their ally, their agreement, because when you have, you know, my people sitting in your land, your people sitting in my land, that brings people much closer. That was the deal that they did. So now, what does Chiram do after Shlomo Melech gives him these cities? Chiram was not one to hold a grudge, and even though he received these cities that he was not very unhappy with, because they were not such good cities, they were very unfruitful, he sent Shlomo 20 kikar, 120 kikar, which is basically 120 blocks of gold.
Why?
Sorry?
Why?
He did that to show that even though he was not happy with the cities that he received, he still wants to show a sign of affection towards Shlomo and say, don't worry about it, we're still friends, we're still buddies, and we're going to send you gold.
Fine, he's still buddies. For what reason is he sending him this money?
Just as a sign. A sign of good faith.
If we go back, Chiram helped him out with a lot of stuff. So that's why He gave him the cities. Okay, he's paying him back. Now he doesn't like, he doesn't like so much. Why is Hiram sending him more money? I mean, for what? For what reason? The deal was done. He helped him. He gave him all the stuff he needed to build the thing. It was built, everything else. So he gives him this. He does him. So what made him give him this money?
Well, he wanted to remain friends with Shlomo.
Hey.
He wanted to remain friends with him. Right? It wasn't like, okay, we did a business deal, shake hands, everyone part, you know, we'll part and each go our separate ways.
Say, all right, I don't care, but it's just still fair. Why did he have to give him this money? Before we gave him stuff, he needed to build. But
he didn't want Shlomo to think that he was upset at him. That's what the Mefreshim explained. He didn't want Shlomo to...
why does he feel he has to give him money?
It wasn't because he owed him anything. You're right, he didn't owe him anything.
Right, he didn't owe him anything. Yeah, right.
It wasn't because, I owe you, so I have to give you this money, right? Yeah. It was more just like to show that I'm really, really not, don't think that I'm upset at you, right? It's one thing if you say, "Don't worry, I'm not really upset. Don't worry about it," you know. But the other person may think, "Okay, you know, he's saying that, but who knows if he's really being honest, right?" The fact that he's sending him this much gold is a clear sign of affection to show Shlomo, "No, we're really still true friends and we're good friends, and that's nothing's gonna break that."
Just to be friendly.
Yeah. All right. Just to be friendly. It would be nice if I had friends like that. You know, that would send me that much gold. V'zedvar Hamas, Pasuk Tesvav, number 15. V'zedvar Hamas, asher he'ala ha'melech shleim b'livnois es beis Hashem ves beisai ves amiloi ves choymas Yerushalayim ves chatzor ves megidoi ves gazer. So now, Shlomo Melech is now casting a tax to build all these cities, right? He had to build his own house. He had to build the Beis HaMikdash, and the rest of Jerusalem, Chatzor, Megiddo, and Gezer. So the Rabagavir explains that this tax was cast on the seven nations that were left in the land of Israel. The Jewish people took over the land of Israel. They defeated the seven nations that were living there. And whoever was left to stay in Israel had to pay a tax. You want to stay here? Okay. You have to pay a tax. You have to... Because they're not part of the Jewish people, essentially, so they had to pay this tax. Anyone who converted was exempt from this tax. But anyone who did not want to convert went ahead and had to pay this tax. And the reason why Shlomo did not tax the Jewish people is because he needed them as soldiers. He needed to have warriors, and that was, again, it's not exactly taxed, but in case he needed to go out to war, he always had someone to rely on, and that was the tax that he was, not exactly the tax, that was the burden that he left upon the Jewish people.
A levy.
Sorry?
A levy.
A living?
Levy.
A levy. Yeah. A levy, right.
Levy.
Thank you.
They were drafted.
They were drafted only in the case of need. They weren't in the war all the time. Because remember, Shlomo Melech did not really have any wars.
Yeah.
David was the one to fight all the wars. Mm-hmm. And Shlomo was really... had peace for the most part. We're going to see later on that there are, that he did have a few small wars, nothing major, but he did have a few. David HaMelech had some really major wars with the Plishtim and others. But Shlomo HaMelech had a few small wars. He didn't really need much many soldiers.
But there is no Jewish soldiers in this time.
What do you mean,
Jewish soldiers?
They were only drafted in the case where there was a war. If there was no war, then they were...
But only Jewish.
Only Jews, yeah. Okay. Only the Jewish people were drafted as soldiers.
So this is an exchange for not having to pay any taxes.
So yeah. Yeah, the taxes was only cast on people that were not Jewish. If you converted, you did not have to pay any tax. Right? If you didn't want to convert, then you had to pay a tax.
This pasuk seems it's going back before. It's what he did before. He says this is the purpose of forced labor which Solomon imposed. It was to build a house of the Lord. his own palace. He already did that before.
Right, right.
But now he's building these other cities. He's just repeating.
He's talking about the tax that he used to build all of these cities. Part of these cities are Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash. Part of the cities are the cities that he's going to rebuild right now. These last cities that he's mentioned, Chatzar, Megiddo, and Gezer, and Gezer. Mentioned over here also Miloy. Miloy, so the Radakover, the Rabagover explains that it was called Miloy because right now this part of Jerusalem received a certain level of sanctity. That from now on, the halacha is that anytime you eat, for example, if you have maaser sheni, you have to go ahead, meaning there's a portion of all the crops you have to separate, and you have to eat it only in Jerusalem. You can't eat it anywhere but Jerusalem. So what they do is, typically, you're not going to carry all this crop, you know, to Jerusalem. Sometimes it's a big amount. So you go ahead, you sell it, you take the money, right? That money is now holy, you can't use it for anything else. You go ahead, you go into Jerusalem, and you buy food over there. And you have to eat it in Jerusalem. You can't go anywhere else. So now, what Shlomo Melech is now establishing is he's establishing the wall around Jerusalem, right? Now this wall has that sanctity, that higher level of sanctity than the rest of Israel. And now anyone who wants to go ahead and eat the Maaser Sheni, this part of the crops that you have to separate, you can eat it only inside the wall, right? And the Miloy was the addition to the city that Shlomo Melech added on, and basically anywhere there was a wall around, anywhere you were inside, as long as you were inside the wall, you're considered to be inside the city, and you're allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni. Or, for that matter, any other carbon, any other sacrifice that you brought to the temple, you're allowed to eat it inside the wall. But not outside. Because outside of the wall did not have that level of sanctity. Yeah. Okay, so let's see weiter. Pasuk design number 16. Paray melech Mitzrayim olav v'ilukot es gezer v'yisrafel v'esh v'esaknani esh v'yir harag v'yitno shiluchim l'bitoy eshes shloimoy. So now Paro goes ahead, he captures this city, and he basically gives it as a wedding present to his son-in-law, Shlomo. Shlomo married Bas Paro. He married the daughter of the princess of Paro. And that was, back in the day, that was the way to establish a peace treaty. Anytime you wanted to make a peace treaty with any other nation.
An alliance,
a peace treaty. Right? You would go ahead, you would marry the princess, the daughter of the king. And that would establish that you now have an alliance with that king, with that nation. And so Shlomo Melech is really, he was on a peace mission. David, whose father was the one to fight all the wars. Now, the David established that, you know, Israel is a powerful nation. Everyone wanted to make peace with his successor, the son Shlomo.
When did she convert? I mean, we're not talking about other people. He's not supposed to marry a Goya.
Right, but she converted.
Okay, so when did she convert?
Before they got married, she converted.
But he doesn't mention that.
Right.
It just mentions he gave him because of his daughter.
Right, but obviously
where did he meet her? When would, you know, what's going on here? What's he doing floating around with his daughter?
Well, that was the way of establishing
that
peace.
That was the way everybody did it. Not the Jewish people. They can't marry anybody they want.
Well, she converted.
Yeah, you have to say that, but it doesn't say anything about her converting or anything else. He's telling you a story. He fine, okay.
Well, it doesn't even say that they got married. He just mentioned by passing that, you know, the daughter of Paro was Shlomo's wife.
Yeah.
Doesn't even
he
say
gave
that they got
it
married.
As a dowry to his daughter Solomon's wife.
Yeah.
Okay. When did he marry her? Before. How many years before or after?
It says before we learned that she came and she asked him questions.
Is his wife? Is this never before mentions he married for daughter of Paro?
Mm-hmm.
But probably not only wife. How many? Maybe.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Many wives. Yeah.
That means one of his wives was.
Well, he. Yeah. One of his wives. Yes. Like he made peace with many kings, many nations, and that was again that was a clear sign to establish the alliance.
She was wife 852.
You sure about that? I thought it was 851.
That bitch, I don't know.
Every day make new number?
So yeah, so that was Shlomo's way of making peace with other nations. Ve'ev Shlomo is gazer ves beis chayron tachtoin. So after he received that as a dowry from his father-in-law, well, one of his fathers-in-law, he goes in and he builds it up. And he builds Gezer, he builds Beis Chayron. So let's continue. Pasuk Yud-Ches, number 18. Ve'elz Ba'alos ve'stamor tadmor b'midbar ba'aretz. He built these other cities. These cities are cities more in the south. They had a lot of sand. They're more hot cities. Tadmor is that we find in the Gemara that Tarmodim, we find that there was this person who tried to annoy. He made a bet with his friend that he can get Hillel to get upset, and so he goes to Hillel and he asks him. He goes to Hillel on Arab Shabbos and he says, "Oh, who's Hillel? Is there a guy named Hillel? Is there a guy named Hillel?" And Hillel comes out and he asks him this question: why is it that the feet of the Tadmor people, Tadmorim, are flat? And Hillel explains to him that the reason why they're flat is because they live among the sands. They live in places that are very sandy, and that's why their feet are flat. So these are the people that Gemara is referring to. Ves kol aria miskalei sashohoyo lishloima, ves aria recha, ves aria parashim, ves cheshek shloima esher choshek livnais v'yerushalayim, v'volvonoin v'chol eretz memshaltoi. So now he basically builds up all the cities that he had, and it mentions a very cheshek shloimai. Cheshek shloimai is the city that he really wanted, that he coveted, and that's referring to this city that he built for Bas Parah, for the daughter of Pharaoh. Kol amanoyser minayimber echiti aprizi achibi vayevusi ashalom ibnei Israel heima. So any descendants of the seven nations that were left after the Jewish people captured Israel, they were now used as they were used to be taxed. Now it says over here that Ubnei Israel le'nasan shlomo aved. That the Shlomo did not use the Jewish people as slaves. Rather, he used them as soldiers, and to the ones to serve him, to handle his chariots and so on and so forth. So it sounds like that Shlomo did not use the Jewish people as slaves, but it sounds like he used everybody else as slaves. Right? But the Malbim explains that it's not true. He did not use anyone as slaves. Rather, what he did was that they had this whole system where they would work two-thirds of the year they would work, meaning there was a cycle of 3 months. For the first month of the year, first month you were at home. Next 2 months, you had to work for Shlomo. You had to work to cutting down trees, you know, fixing up the cities, whatever it was. And then after two months, you were back at home. So the cycle of 3 months, 1 month at home, 2 months working. So the Baal explains that even though he used them he didn't really use them, but he had them build up the cities, but because it was not full-time, they were not working full-time, it's not considered that they were slaves. Because a slave is someone who is working for you full-time. You're literally working for him 24/7. But because he gave them a third of the time at home, they did not have the status of slaves, rather just
indentured servants.
Yes.
How do they
Thank you.
How do they make a living?
No, so Shlomo Melech would supply them with food. You didn't just, you know, work them and not give them anything to... Part of what you have to do is, well, yeah, meaning...
Well, okay.
Yeah, part of... He was, part of,
he was saying,
yeah, you gave them... He gave them food. He gave them something to live on.
The ones that worries and everything else, he paid them.
You give them,
yeah, for sure.
You give them room and board.
Yeah,
room and board.
Yeah,
and he supported their families as well.
What about their families?
No, he supported their families as well.
They're not home. They're working for who's feeding their families back every other place? Give them room and board. That's not enough.
Remember, Shlomo was a very wealthy king. Right, he had, you know, he had Hiram giving him 120.
Okay, so he took care of them.
Yeah, he took care of them. Yeah, he had no problem. Money was not an issue for Shlomo. Right, he's got everyone sending him gold, silver, plenty of resources. So money was no issue. Right, so he was able to support.
Like I said, they were drafted.
Yeah,
they were drafted for this time. You got to work for me. Then you can go home and then come back and.
Mm-hmm.
But he paid them, all right.
Yeah, he paid them. yes. So now let's continue. Number 23, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Eile sori hanitzavi masher la malach lishlaimai chamishim v'chomesh me'ois haroidim ba'am ha'isim b'malach. So now we had 550 officials who were in charge of all the workers. And they were basically the ones to make sure that all the work was being done the way it was supposed to. Achbas pari also mir David al Besa Shabonalo Ozbona Asamiloi. So now he built a special city for Paro. For the daughter of Paro, because it was considered to be inappropriate for Paro, the daughter of Paro, to be in Ir David. Initially, he put her in Ir David, which is right outside Jerusalem. That was the city that David built up. That's why it's called the City of David, the City of David. Because Ir David was where the Aron was, therefore that level of holiness it was not fit for the daughter of Paro to be there. Therefore, he had to build a separate city for her, a separate house that was special for her, and that's where he moved her to after he completed her house. So she had her own palace, basically.
No, it wasn't so. It wasn't so. It was married to it. It wasn't so kosher.
Well, I'm not saying it wasn't kosher. It's clear that he definitely they definitely converted, right? He definitely converted. But again, it wasn't like, you're right, it wasn't, it sounds like it was really Bas Paro in particular that was not supposed to be there, right? There's more reasons to it, that I mentioned, but all the other women that he converted, that was not a problem. It was the daughter of Paro in particular that seemed to be a problem, and she was the one that was not fit for her to be there. Yeah. So let's continue. Ve'el Shloimoi, Pasuk Chafei, number 25. Ve'el Shloimoi, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashano, Oilos Shlomim Al Mizbech, Asher Bono LaHashem, Ve'akter Itoi, Asher Lifnei Hashem, Ve'shilam Es Habayis. So three times a year, right, obviously the Shalosh Regalim, during Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, he would bring all these karbonos, all these sacrifices to the Beis HaMikdash. And everyone came up, and it was one big party. So he only did this. He only started bringing these sacrifices after he completed the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and after he completed building the city of Jerusalem, and after he completed building the special house for Bas Paro, for the daughter of Paro. Only then was it the right time, was it the right setting for Shlomo to bring these sacrifices.
Did they do Karbonos before? before?
So the law was that before the Beis Hamikdash was complete, you're allowed to bring karbanis
all any place.
You're allowed to build a bama, meaning you can build a mizbeach, build a mizbeach in your backyard, right? Basically, any stage of any sort, you can build a stage, you know, a bama of any sort, build in your backyard. You can bring a karbanis over there, right? That was the law of the land until the Beis Hamikdash was complete. Once the Beis Hamikdash was complete, then what you needed to do was you needed to bring the Beis Hamikdash. You could only bring korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash. Nowhere else in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, were you allowed to bring sacrifices. Allowed to bring korbanos. Yeah. So let's see if we can finish the pasuk, the perek. V'ani also melech shlemi be'etzion gever asher es elois osfas yamsuf be'eretz edoim. Yeah. So Ani is basically a name for a group of boats. A group of boats, and so that's where he set his navy, in this place called Etzion Gever, which was on the Red Sea.
So basically a lot or next to him.
Yeah. Yeah, around the lot, around the end of the Negev over there. That was his navy. I don't know why he didn't set up his navy in the Mediterranean. That seems to be a more central place, a place that's more accessible.
I think maybe because they were shipping, all around.
Commodities.
Instead of the Mediterranean, they were.
Right. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is 15, right before 16, so he gave it as a wedding present to his daughter, Solomon's wife. Who is his wife?
So this is the daughter of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He
was married to her?
So Shlomo was married to the daughter of Pharaoh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what you were talking about, the conversion thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And again, that was in order to set up a peace treaty, an alliance with Egypt, with Pharaoh, and that was the custom back then. In order to establish it, you would marry the princess, marry the daughter of the king. Yeah? Okay. So let's see, number 27. Ve'yishlach Hiram ba'ani esavodav, right? He sent ani, it comes from the word aniyot, aniyah. Aniyah in Hebrew means boat, a ship, right? So ani means a group of ships, a fleet, right? A fleet of ships.
It was said warships.
Not necessarily warships.
Trading. Training ships. It could be training ships.
Yeah. A fleet doesn't necessarily mean warships, does it?
I think it said one. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, not necessarily.
It said warships, That was one of the
Right. No, it doesn't seem like he's sending over here warships. He's not. Declaring war over anybody. Yeah. Yeah. So he's sending this fleet of ships. He's sending these men who know the sea. Im Abdi Shleimai. With the men of Shlomo. Vayavoyu efir veikachom isham zav arba ma'is ve'esim kikar ve'aviyu el ha-melech Shlomo. Right, so now he gathers this huge amount of gold, and this place that was called Ophira was a plant, what's called a plant where you get gold from, right? A gold mine, right? A gold mine, and apparently that was under the control of Shlomo, and he mined the gold from this place called Ophira, and he got a huge amount of gold, 420 kikar, which was a huge amount of gold, and that's what he used as in order to support his Jewish people and all the people he was paying.
One of Mepharshim says it was Peru.
Peru, really? Interesting. I haven't seen that.
It doesn't make any difference where it is because we don't know, but We know Peru does have a lot of gold. Had a lot of gold. That's where all the
that is true.
Pizarro and all those conquistadors went.
Yeah. Interesting.
Right? Am I right or wrong?
Yes.
Well, you're always right, Richie. Always right.
I could be.
All right. Okay, can we finish this paragraph? We'll stop here, and we'll continue next week. Same place, same time. With the next paragraph.
We'll get you next week with the next... What he did with all his wives. It seems that his wives, his other wives, did not come convert as they continued worshiping their own gods.
Well, that was more towards the end of the life of Solomon.
Oh, yeah.
It was more towards the end of his life.
That's where I saw it.
They were doing
about
it.
About Peru?
Yeah.
They were doing what?
Who used to live in Peru?
They were doing...
Inks?
Indian. Kind of worship?
Safe up.
The whole thing bothers my mind.
All
right.
Listen, you know, everyone makes mistakes.
Well, yeah, like I said before, he's done all these things. What do you expect from us? Nobody ever talked to us.
Okay, well, we learned everybody makes mistakes, right? There's no question about that. But we have to do our best. You can't say, oh, listen, you know, there's not much we can do, you know. Everyone's got excuses, right? We spoke about this. We spoke about, you know, Yosef Chayev Zarashayim.
I'll tell you a second. This is...
Hey, Richie, how you doing?
This is Abris. This is Peru.
Really?
Yeah.
For Abris. I don't know who wrote it.
Give me that one back.
Is it true, right? That's Shlomo. Shlomo Melech had like 1,000 wives, right?
Yes.
1,000 wives, yeah. My dad always told me about 1,000 wives.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to see the next paragraph. We'll see, you know.
It's a lot of wives.
Yeah, a lot of houses.
Yeah. Because you got to maintain them.
Right. Like, well, we see he had a lot of gold, you know.
He had a lot of gold. He was rich.
Yeah, he was very wealthy.
He had a lot of wives.
A lot of wives. 1,000. Imagine Richie, 1,000 wives. That's a lot, right?
Perish Shukam Sholo Alainim.
That's why he died a young man.
Okay. Now, what's the Al Yerushalayim? If he's call Amo Yisrael to include Yerushalayim.
That's true, but Yerushalayim has a special Kedusha more than the rest of the earth itself. So you have to cast a special Kedusha on Yerushalayim, a higher level of Kedusha.
But that's just Yerushalayim. It doesn't do anything. I mean,
well, we saw today. You can eat Maaser Sheni only in Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim has a higher
Kedusha. Right, that, but we're right, doing it. So to me, it seems it's extra. Well, once you say, "Call Amo Yisrael," where is Amo Yisrael? You know,
I mean, yeah.
Once he does it, it has to include everything where they live or what they do. That's what it seems to me. I mean, I've been saying this for years and years. All of a sudden, it dawns on me. What do you mean by this?
Sukkah Shalom, or Sukkah, right, refers to Kedusha, right? It refers to like the, you know, like Tzila de Meimnusa, we're in the, under the wings of Hashem, so to speak, right? Referring to the Shechina.
Yeah,
right?
But once the Jews are under that, it should include Yerushalayim.
Right, but it's a higher level of Kedusha.
Both. Okay.